Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Today's podcast is number 20. It's March 7th, 2006. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Our correspondent today, Desiree, will be calling in during the second part of the show. And David Tapia, the producer, is still on vacation in the jungles of Bolivia. Steve?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Yahoo Ads. Yahoo Ads provide you, the F1Weekly.com web surfer, with ads that interest you. From Momo shift knobs to rental cars in Indianapolis, Yahoo Ads get you the stuff you really want. Click on them. You know you wanna.
Thank you, Steve. Keep up the good work. Another podcast, and now it's down to the wire. Yay! We've only got a few days till the Bahrain Grand Prix starts, and this is a busy, busy weekend for the crew at F1 Weekly because we've got two races to cover. As many of you know, the A1 Grand Prix is in America. It's in the USA, and they'll be at Laguna Seca this weekend. And we will be covering that race as press for the correspondents all over the world.
For all of our people.
Exactly.
Everywhere. You're going to get a little
A1. So we're going to get a little A1 action, but we'll be covering the Bahrain race, and we'll be running back and forth from cable TV early in the morning to the racetrack to interviews with, we're going to get an interview with the owners of A1 USA team for the A1 Grand Prix.
That should be fun.
Should be very fun. I'm looking forward to it. So you might want to check the A1 Grand Prix this weekend. It's actually playing on OLN, I believe, on your satellite or cable network.
Yeah, I actually
looked at the evening of the race. It'll be playing the same weekend instead of being 1 week delayed.
Yeah.
But anyway, there you go. We've only got a few more days until practice starts Friday in Bahrain. The week before the race is a bit slow, and all you see is everybody's ready, everybody's ready.
We're going to compete. We're not going to compete. We like our tires. We don't like our tires.
Yeah. Coulthard was predicting that Button is ready to win. Him and Jenson Button are very good friends. So they do a lot of that, supporting each other. McLaren shrugs off any engine problems. Ferrari says, well, we probably won't win the first race, but we'll be in the points. Everybody is just sort of, I don't know. It's just this malaise.
I think everybody's like, cuz it's like, let's just get it started already.
Yeah, so I can't wait to get it started. I can't wait to just see the first practice because that'll give me and everyone a sense of what we expect during qualifying. And sure enough, I'm sure I'll be wrong. So it's going to be interesting. I have seen a number of interviews of drivers, and it's the same blasé thing. Bridgestone runners are all saying, yeah, that they've caught up to Michelin. Michelin runners are all saying Michelin has done a fantastic job, even though the concern that it's their last season. Will they drop off or not? Michelin is also still griping about the fact that we are going to tire changes this year, and they're still not happy about it, but it's too late. They're ready, and I think Michelin will probably do a better job than Bridgestone, but that's just me. Other than that, not much going on. We have Desiree. He's going to do a little report on some of the changes that are made to the cars to drive in Bahrain because of all the sand. It's quite a sandy area being in the middle of the desert.
Sand and high temperatures, all those good things that they
have. Yes, we all have our opinions.
Race cars generally don't like.
We have our opinions about that. But sure enough, she's going to do a little investigating and she's going to report on what she's found out on what they do to the cars because there's special filters and little knickknacks that they have to put everywhere to keep that sand out of there. Another guy that's really all pumped up, and you could imagine, is Rubens Barrichello. Now, that guy's pumped. He's probably already over there hanging out.
Well, I'm sure all the drivers are there.
Maybe not. Schumacher usually flies in probably, fairly...
Exactly. Schumi's not there yet. He'll fly in on Thursday morning.
He's probably in his backyard right now playing croquet or something.
Yeah.
And I saw something interesting about Schumi today, that they said that instead of going once he retires from Formula One, he might get into equestrian on the field, riding horses, racing horses.
Nah, I think the cowboy hat means he's going to NASCAR.
Yeah, I saw the cowboy hat. There you have it. Starts with a cowboy hat, then you never know what's going to happen. But yeah, Honda's all pumped up. Gilles de Ferrand predicts we're going to go, baby, go.
Let's hope.
I hope so. I hope so. I have a funny feeling that all the predictions, all the pundits, all say, you know, it's Renault, Honda, McLaren, Ferrari, and watch. Watch Toro Rosso win the race.
Midland.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Super Curry, that old Harris car. What? They got the third? What? This is crazy.
Well, something's going to happen strange. I just feel it. I'm not comfortable with all the predictions at all.
Yeah, I think we'll be watching the Banzai Twins.
Even though all the emails that we get from listeners around this globe pretty much go along. I mean, there's a little shuffle here and there, but everybody's pretty much going along with the pundits. And nobody's foreseeing any surprises. I mean, yeah, of course, you get your Honda predictions. You get your Ferrari predictions. You get your Williams predictions, which would be pretty surprising at best.
Expect Williams to score some points, though. That engine is just a little too strong.
I expect
what we saw in
Williams is one of the teams I expect to surprise, to be honest with you.
Yeah, definitely.
I think they will surprise not really their fans, but their competition.
Yeah.
So I think Williams should be quite exhilarating. Frank, I'm telling you, they're not going to go for Toyota engines next year. They're going to stick with the Cosworth. I guarantee it. And I think some of the guys at meccaofspeed.com agree with me 100%.
I'm sure they do.
So there you have it. I wanted to bring up the fact that Renault is about as prepared as they're ever going to get. I don't know how many times I've read that. They're ready. I mean, everybody's so prepared. They're prepared again and again and again. But it's getting tiring to read this, to be honest with you. I've actually stopped going to some of my websites because it's just
kind of the same old drum.
It is. The drum beat is rolling. Everybody's prepared. So I just want to our Tuesday podcast is a short one, but we'll see what happens. Like I said, there's not much to talk about, but this is where Desiree comes in and starts really showing us who's boss. She's got some good stuff coming up. She's got a Bahrain tech file on what Toyota's going to be doing, Williams, McLaren. Also, she's going to be talking about the demands of the track on the vehicles to get everybody up to date on what's really, really happening.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we got a lot of emails this week. It's just been nonstop.
Well, everybody's getting excited about the season getting started.
That's true. That's true. And
a lot of people are going out and finding podcasts, and they're tripping across ours and going, hey, these guys kind of know what they're talking about.
I agree. And we've noticed that there's some new podcasters out there.
Yeah, a couple of new ones coming online in the last week or so, a couple of weeks.
So I think variety is better.
Oh, definitely.
And everybody listen to everybody and then pick us in the end.
Come back to the best.
Also, I know David Coulthard is hoping to be re-signed. So he's really got to impress. I say they'll probably have a good start, but then they're going to have problems midway in the race.
Yeah, especially the Red Bull has been having issues with the cooling and stuff like that.
I don't think they've really settled in with the Ferrari engine yet.
Yeah.
I think Toro Rosso is going to do good and finish the race. I think Midland will finish the race. I think Aguri, Suzuki, will not finish the race. Both cars will be out by lap 23. Those are all my predictions. This is what I do just for fun. That's, Suzuki Aguri out lap 23. I think.
Okay. Are they going to be out because of a failure, or are they going to be out because they put it into a wall?
Nope. There's going to be one failure.
Or ran it off the track.
And one bonsai. Okay. There'll be one bonsai attack from Takuma Sato.
Who's he going to take out with it this time?
Mark Webber.
Yeah,
I saw it.
We should get odds on that.
I saw it in my crystal ball. He attacks. Mark Webber gets angry.
Mark Webber passes him on one of the straights, and he gets upset.
So
nails him in the next corner.
But obviously, I'm going through deep withdrawals. it's, you know, when it gets to this part of the year, when it's a week before the race, I mean, it's rough. You're starting to look at your old tapes, you know. I threw in Monaco 95 the other day just for laughs.
But, just for a fix.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, I'm suffering. But, okay, we know everybody's ready. So there you have it. We're going to take a quick break pretty soon. Steve, did you have something?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to bring up a little something that I found on one of the websites.
What's that?
This week. And basically, but the logistics of getting F1 teams to a place like Bahrain and just how much stuff these guys have got to take with them. There are 11 teams traveling to Bahrain, and each of them brings between 50 and 80 shipping cases, up to 40 tons of equipment. Of that, over 30 tons of it is made up of mechanical needs for the cars themselves. Three chassis, the engines, spare parts, tools, wheels, and pit equipment. The remainder is made up of pit garage branding and extraneous equipment. Even the utensils for the team chefs. They have Formula One has a superhighway all of its own, that being the electronic superhighway. There will be over 180 large computers, 300 laptops in use between the 11 teams, with over 3.5 kilometers of power cable and over 5.5 kilometers of data cable. Approximately 1,200 will be equipped with 1,100 walkie-talkies and headsets. And then there's some of the needs for the teams themselves in 37,000 liters of mineral water and soft drinks.
Well, they're in the desert.
Will be consumed up and down the pit lane. Yeah, I wonder how many of those liters will be Red Bull.
Possible.
The fuel suppliers will bring approximately 15,000 liters of fuel for the race cars. And then another 17,500 liters for the support race cars. That's just crazy. And they were going through up to this point and the scale of technology and the amount of money that is spent on F1 cars. They estimate in this article that each lap at each Grand Prix event costs over $3,000 to put that car on the track for.
Good heavens, Madge.
That just blows me. It's just phenomenal. Blows me away.
That's where Max gets his power.
Yeah, that's right. Make it cheaper. Well, let's go back to tire changes. So the tire companies have to put out three times as many tires.
And billions in engine developments for a 2.4 V8 engine. But anyway, it's going to be exciting. I think everybody's happy.
Anybody who's an F1 fan is happy because there's racing this weekend.
Thank God.
And we get a double dose.
Yeah.
This should be a really, really interesting weekend for us. Thank God we got at least one day off this weekend.
Well, we are pretty excited because of doing two races. I mean, we have to wake up. As you all well know, we live in California. We're in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. So we have to wake up at 3 or 2:30 to catch and prepare for the practice session, quali, and the race on each day. Then we have to race out to Laguna Seca, which is about an hour and 20-minute drive, pick up our press passes, and then we have to go meet the owner of Team USA, which I'm looking forward to. He's invited us because they know that we're hip. And we'll be meeting Rick Weidinger, team owner, very nice, and people who, I'd like to put this out, people who have subscribed to the A1 Team USA newsletter can get to the race for free. You can get in all 3 days.
Yeah, a full weekend pass. That just blew my mind when we got that letter this morning.
Yeah, and if I let me give you a hint here. Go to their website, which I believe is a1grandprix.com. Click on Team USA. Go to Team USA's website and get their newsletter, and you'll get free tickets to the race, which is it's a fun race. Laguna Seca is great.
Actually, I think it's a1-usa.com.
Okay.
Look, Google it. It comes up on like the third page.
Yeah. I think you can go to A1 Grand Prix page and pick it up real quick.
Yeah, I think you can through there. Yeah, there's a link on that front page where all the rankings are.
Exactly. So, like I was saying, busy, busy, busy weekend for us. But we're excited because this is going to be F1 Weekly's inaugural race coverage.
Yes.
As everybody knows, we started in December of 2005 because we couldn't take it anymore. we thought the quality of the podcasts out there could improve a tad, but also be a different genre. We certainly don't want to say we're better, but we're a little bit different and more structured. Definitely. That's all. I mean, we think all the podcasters out there are fantastic, and anybody who starts a podcast, more power to you.
Yeah, we know what you're going through.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. Like just a little while ago, and I hope I'm not going on a rant, but we had to actually do some soldering on one of our cables because we had a little problemo. So it's always a lot of fun. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and take a break, get a quick advertisement in, and we'll hear from Desiree.
And actually, during this break, we'll bring you this week's trivia since we won't be able to run it later this week. So after the commercial, we'll bring in Will with this week's trivia question.
Excellent. And thank you from Will and TriviaPodcast.com.
MyTriviaPodcast.com.
MyTriviaPodcast.com. Thank you, Steve. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hi, this is Steve with F1Weekly.com. Our podcasts are brought to you by Google AdSense and the Firefox web browser. The innovative Firefox browser makes surfing the web faster and safer with the included Google Toolbar and features like autofill and spell check. It will make your browsing more convenient. Together, they'll change the way you surf the internet for free. Just click on the button on our homepage.
So here's your F1 Weekly Formula One trivia question. Now, 2006 will see the return of pit stop tire changes after 1 year of the experimental one tire, one race rule. There was a time when refueling was banned, only to be reintroduced in the 1994 season. What year saw the beginning of the refueling ban? Was it 1984, 1986, or 1988? I'll have the answer toward the end of the podcast.
Welcome back to F1 Weekly. Clark here. Thanks for the trivia, and that answer will be at the end of the podcast. Okay, we're getting Desiree on the air. Desiree, are you with us?
Aloha, Clark. Is that you?
I'm good.
Hello. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Desi.
How's the weather on the coast?
It is actually cold.
Yeah, it's been cold and nasty.
Yes, I have a heater on, and I have my long-sleeved F1 t-shirt on tonight.
Keep up the good work. I was just going to say that the A1 Grand Prix, as I was talking about earlier, had been canceled officially a few days ago.
On Sunday night,
and they reinstated it because Laguna Seca has promised to get the track in tip-top form. But they've had trouble. We've had a lot of rain in this part of the country. So we're hoping that the race does go on.
Yeah, because it's been continuing to rain, and it's supposed to rain all weekend.
Yes, it's going to be one hellacious weekend. But A1 does race in the rain, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, there you have it, Desiree. Welcome to the show.
Is that a condition of our press pass? Is that we have to go like blow dry the track or something?
Exactly. A lot of blowing.
Nothing's free, you know?
Nothing is free. But okay, let's get to Bahrain, our favorite place.
Sure. Well, you had me kind of look into the situation regarding the cars there.
Thank you.
And the statement I want to open up with is thus, the terrain in Bahrain is mainly a big pain.
Bravo. Bravo, bravo, bravo,
bravo. Bravo, bravo.
As Renault puts it, because all the teams put out their pre-race, you know, press passes, and I was reading up, and Renault, how they state it is that the Bahrain circuit is a unique circuit because a lot of sand blows onto the surface from outside the circuit. It makes the feeling and driving style quite complex because as you go into each corner, you don't know what the conditions are like or how much grip you have. And also there is a problem due to the high temperatures that are usually there. It makes it hard for the cooling of the vehicle. And Toyota said about the sand, Mike Gascon, the technical director of the chassis, he said it's an exciting track it has great facilities. You know, it has the top notch technology and the digs are really fine. The cribs are nice and everything. That's me paraphrasing, but it's a challenging place to start the year because the circuit is probably the hardest for the brakes is for the whole season with Montreal being next. I believe the circuit is surrounded by sand. The sand can get very hot and it poses problems with the cooling of the car. So reliability will be key, especially with the switch to the V8 engines. And I think Renault, they had one of their one and only blowouts last year at Bahrain with reliability.
Really? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think so. And then Williams put it, with the desert as its backdrop, Bahrain presents its own very particular challenge. The drifting sand poses one of the greatest variables over the weekend, with the tailing cars get sandblasted by those in front, which that's got to suck. And so as a consequence, they use heavy-duty air filters. These are essential, but they have to balance it because it can also compromise the aerodynamic efficiency. So they have to balance it. They have to use these heavy-duty air filters, but again, they don't want the air flow to get slowed down due to this putting up these filters. So they have to compromise to get a good setup, and it's very, very important for the drivers.
Very good.
For the sand. So they use these filters everywhere. And then in general, for the engine, the Bahraini Grand Prix is very demanding race for the engines. They spend 70% of the lap at full throttle. Wow. So it's about the top five of the year as far as throttleage goes. And the temperatures, I believe they're saying about 40 degrees Celsius, which is not that bad.
40 degrees early Celsius. On in the season,
so that's good news for them.
40
because
is
as the temperatures get higher, the engines experience an acoustic effect. It means as the temperature rises, the revs increase. You know, this is a happens in physics, you know, as things get hot, atoms move about quicker, same kind of idea. And they one of the new regulations for 2006 is that they are no longer allowed these what they were called variable intake trumpets. They don't have those anymore, so they have to use fixed trumpets, and they have to have them more finely tuned to adapt to, you know, the temperature. So they have a big risk for these engines with temperature as well as ingestion of sand is how they call it. And it can be a catastrophic event if sand gets into the pistons,
oh,
piston
really?
Rings or the valves. I myself don't like to have sand between my toes. I find it annoying. And so do I think the cars don't like it as well.
I think McLaren's going to have a big blow up.
That's not what Boss Hogg says.
Boss Hogg is wrong.
And their paint job's going to get ruined, too.
He's confident reliability won't be an issue because, in fact, though, they tested 28 days, McLaren did.
Yeah.
They covered 8,692 kilometers. So that's an average of one Grand Prix distance per day. So they've already driven the equivalent of 28 Grand Prix race distances in preparation. So that's not unlike for Red Bull, who hasn't done it once.
That's true.
And you know, as the testing went on, they improved their times, you know.
Okay.
And
I could be wrong.
The brand new V8 can hold up to the two race weekend rule.
Very
and
good.
So they're good. I think they're doing good.
Okay, I think you're right. I might be mistaken, but I don't know. My crystal ball says one McLaren blows up.
And the other one gets taken out by a Subaru Aguri.
But it won't be Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah, not like last year. Huh?
No, this time it'll be Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo. I think he didn't get to race there last year.
No.
That might have been when his shoulder was injured.
Man, it's weird how you forget the details so quickly.
So he's rusty. He's already admitted that he feels a little bit disadvantaged because he's rusty. So poor JPM is like, he's having to do like the video games or whatever they do to prepare instead.
Well, he just needs to be a man.
Yeah, well, he is. Remember, we talked about Connie.
Yeah, well, that's different.
He's proven he's male anyway.
There's different kinds of men.
That, and tell me, I know all about that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Desiree girl.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bridgestone, they're saying it's a demanding circuit. It's the Shakir circuit. It's a medium downforce track with long straights and several tight corners. It has a relatively smooth surface except for the sand. So I think grip is a really hard, really an issue for the Bridgestone tires. I think Michelin, again, is going to be fine, even though they're mad. but they're just glad, Bridgestone's glad that it's a little bit cooler. But they think it's challenging, but they're going to be confident. Of course, they have to say that.
Well, and they're glad that they can use more than one set of tires.
Well, and then more teams have switched back to using Bridgestone this year. You know, they kind of evened out. Well, Williams switched over to Bridgestone, I believe.
Exactly.
So there's been more, and they've been doing a lot of testing, so there's more data input.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bridgestone only had Ferrari last year.
Yeah, well,
was Michelin.
Bridgestone had Midland, and no, they had Jordan, and who was the other team? Red Bull. No.
Minardi.
It was Minardi. Thank you very much. No, but Michelin wanted to release a few teams because they had too many teams.
They want to lighten their load, exactly. So Bridgestone has more, you know, data input now.
And Bridgestone needed more teams.
I still think they're not going to be as good of a tire.
The Bridgestone?
Yeah.
I agree.
I still think I'm going to be sporting my retro 70s Michelin windbreaker.
Me too.
All around, probably.
I'm wearing mine today, actually.
Excellent. Excellent. And then, so just remember I mentioned previously about the intrigue that there's some possible terrorist attack warnings for Westerners.
Mm-hmm.
But now in Bahrain, this kind of stuff kind of continues. I read that 9 separate protests are said to be planned to coincide with the F1 season opener, the Bahrain, you know, GP.
Now what
and at least one protest is supposed to take place near the circuit. And the object, they're trying to demand the release of some certain men. But they claim they don't want to disturb F1, and they're not going to do anything that's not peaceful.
They Interesting. Better not. So they're trying to get the government's attention, not really the race.
Right, and they know since the whole you know island kingdom has you know pumped up for this race and all the events and stuff. That's what you know. There's no what bad press they said.
Correct.
So that's how they're going to try to draw attention to it because all the media from all around the world is going to be there.
Very good.
So I just hope they are peaceful, as they said, because Bahrain's really trying to pump this up.
They are.
The biggest advertisement in Formula One history was unveiled due to the Bahrain GP. They decorated the side of a 47-story tower called the Amayoyed Tower. I can't pronounce it. And it's the whole side of the building's done like a billboard.
Wow.
And it has an image depicting the two most popular cars, Michael Schumacher, of course, and Fernando Alonso, the last year winner. And each of their cars are like 8 stories tall. And the caption on the side of the tower reads, "It's time to choose sides." I like that.
I like that too.
That was almost as cute as my opening line.
Your opening line was excellent.
Thank you. And then also in Bahrain, that one of the side races, what do you call them? Support races?
The support races, yes.
They're having a 16-lap pro celebrity race.
Oh, this
they're
is
going to do. It's they're driving 5.0-liter V8 Chevy Luminas. Okay, not as an open wheel car, but 8 laps are going to be driven by a pro driver. Then they pull over and they give a celebrity the last 8 laps. And the celebrities that are going to be there, said to be there, are going to be Nick Mason, the musician from Pink Floyd. Cool. You probably know that he's a car enthusiast.
Of course.
You know everything, Clark.
I do know he's everything.
Driven car. So that old guy is going to do it. And an American Grammy winner, John Legend, an R&B singer. He's going to be racing. That surprised me. And also the cute little JK guy from Jamiroquai, the funk pop star. He is a huge car enthusiast as well. He owns an Enzo, which is pretty dang cool. And he's owned like 2 other Ferraris at least and other exotic sport cars. So that guy's going to be there. And some former Olympic athletes, a British Olympian, Sir Steve Redgrave, and a U.S. the sprinter, Michael Johnson. And then also a journalist, the stepdaughter of Prince Charles, Camilla's daughter, Emma Bowles, is going to be there. So that would be fun to see. I really like John Legend. It's cute. And so that's what Bahrain's all happening. But I wanted to go over, like you mentioned, just in general, now that we're starting the beginning of the 2006 season, which, yay, I'm so happy about. I wanted
exciting.
To kind of just briefly go over the Formula One, the Federation rules, the FIA regs for 2006. You two were already discussing the 110% rule, I think, right?
Yes, we've gotten a few emails about that with some of our listeners' personal, how would you say, interpretation of the rules. And it varies a little bit from email to email. I've read the rules. We'll see how they're interpreted in Bahrain.
Yeah, it kind of gives me dyslexia just thinking about that 110% rule. But in the format overview, is no more single lap qualifying David Coulthard will be happy about that, because DC never liked that. Ever since that switched over to that qualifying, he's had a rough time. Yep. So he'll be happy.
Yep.
But now it's going to be the new format is a 3-part, what they call knockout format with multiple cars on the track throughout the qualifying hour. So they're going to split into 2 15-minute sessions and then a 20-minute session with 5-minute breaks in between. So the first session is all 22 cars going out and doing laps at any time. Because when I first heard about it, I'm like, do they all go around at the same time? This is odd. But they can go out as many or as few laps as they want in this 15-minute period. At the end of the 15 minutes, the 6 slowest guys drop out and they fill the back 6 grid spots. Then the 5-minute break, and then the times reset, and then the remaining 16 cars run around however they want for the next 15-minute session. And then the next 6 cars, again, will drop out and fill places 11 through 16. But then the last session is a little different. After the break, there's going to be a 20-minute session. And the top 10 cars go around, and they call it a shootout, to decide who gets pole position and the starting order for the top 10. And they can still do as many laps as they want, but it's a 20-minute session. And there you go. And then there's also the fuel rule that goes with qualifying. Mm-hmm. The cars that are in the 2 15-minute sessions initially, they can have any fuel load they want. And then when they're knocked out of the sessions, then they can refuel whatever they want again. But the top 10 drivers must begin the final 20-minute session with the fuel load on which they plan to start the race. So they have a little bit of different rules. So they get weighed before they leave the pits. They do their thing, and then for 20 minutes, and then they get the exact amount of, you know, the weight of the fuel replaced. So that's kind of different. So that's where the fuel strategy comes into play, and all the intrigue and the guessing. And I love fuel strategy myself. I think it's interesting. So
I agree.
You've almost put fuel strategy into qualifying too, because
qualifying a whole other level, which. That's great, you know.
It is great.
That's very cool.
We'll see what happens.
Of course, we know the engines for this year, the now are V8s. We've talked about that quite a bit. But again, just to reiterate, they have to last 2 race weekends long like they did last year. Mm-hmm. So same, they have to hang in there. And then the tire changes are back, which is great. They figure that the cost that they're saving with using the V8s, snicker, snicker, we know there's no savings of cost yet. But they say, well, now you can afford to have more tires. And they get 7 sets of dry weather tires, 4 sets of wet weather, and 3 dream weather sets. They still have to make the final choice of weather compound before they go into. And as you mentioned, I think Michelin is kind of mad because it's causing them, they have to come up with more sets now. It's warm. Again, these rules that are supposed to be causing money.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to have breaks in the money, but it's still costing them more money. So okay. It's quite silly, some of those regulations. But there you have it. That's how the 2006 season is going to go. Those are the rules so far. Of course, they're subject to change without notice in the middle of the year. But that's where we start.
I don't remember seeing that at the end of the race.
That's fantastic. You did a really, really good job, Desiree.
Thank you. You know I love Formula One.
I know you do.
I love you guys. And I love all the F1Weekly.com listeners. Hello.
I know you do. And what was that little opening remark? I want to hear it once more.
Certainly. The terrain in Bahrain is mainly a big pain.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for that,
Thank
Desiree.
You, Desiree out.
Okay. We'll see you soon.
Bye, David, wherever you are. Bye, guys.
Exactly. Good night, Desiree. Good night, Thank Desiree. You.
Good night.
That was great. Desiree does another fantastic job. We're going to have to get her a pay raise. Nothing I can do.
when we're getting paid, she can get paid.
Yeah, okay. There you go. So that was great. Thank you, Desiree. Excellent. We're going to go ahead and take a little break, and we'll come back for the wrap-up.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you. And here's this week's answer to the trivia question.
Well, here's your F1 Weekly Formula One trivia answer. The refueling ban that was eventually lifted in 1994 was instituted in 1984. So there's your answer, refueling ban, 1984.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. Excellent trivia question. Thanks to Will at MyTriviaPodcast.com. We're going to have those on a weekly basis. Thank you very much, Will. Also, I just want to thank Steve Fault, my co-host, for doing a great job at producing, because David Tapia is not here, and I will never forgive him for that. Thanks, David. But anyway, yeah, Steve has been producing the show while we're doing it because he seems to be a little bit more talented than I am.
Well, we need you to focus on the show.
Exactly.
Hosting. You're the talent.
And I am the talent.
I'm the pseudo-talent.
Well, I'm the charisma. But anyway, there you have it. So we're going to go to some listener email. We've got some good stuff, and we've been getting quite a bit because it's the beginning of the season, but I chose three that email is going to be read right now.
First one from Neil in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Hey guys, just found the podcast. It's excellent. I was wondering what your thoughts are on Midland. Do you think a lot of the hostility in the F1 press is deserved, or is it because a lot of the top guys aren't from F1 homeland, such as UK, France, or Italy? I think the designer James Key is a major asset, and Montero and Albers are both highly competent drivers, although they've only been given crummy cars. Are you able to shed any light on the bust-up between Coles and Trevor Carlin last year? I still have no idea what that was about. So keep up the great work, and I'll keep listening and clicking on the sponsors. Ooh, we like that. Neil Carlton in Belfast.
Thanks, Neil. I don't know the tiff on between Trevor and Coles, but we're going to have Desiree investigate that, and we'll try to get a full report for you. Because when a listener asks, we get the information.
We try to get that darn
answer. And that's why we have Desiree. I shoot her off an email, and she finds it for me. So, Neil, we're going to try to get that information, even though it's going to be a busy weekend for us. Give us a couple of weeks, but we'll bring that topic up. Thanks, Neil, for your email and for listening. Next.
The next email comes from Mamono Kikaku from Japan. I hope I got your name right there, dude. Recently, you guys were talking a little about how internationally, your podcast is being listened to by people around the world. Because it would seem to me that there are not many Japanese listeners, I decided to drop you a line just to let you know that there is at least one here in Japan. Anyway, I like your podcast, and Clark Rogers' voice, so soothing. Bravo, 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 bravo. Keep up the good work. I can't wait to see Takuma Banzai attack us again. Thanks, Mamono in Japan.
I want to just quickly respond. My voice is quite soothing. And yes, I can't wait to see Takuma Sato go on some bonsai runs. Because, we need the excitement.
Exactly. We need a driver who's...
There's nothing like sure it. I love it. Is. My favorite part was Schumacher hitting Takuma Sato in Spa. It doesn't get better than that. Thanks for the email. Keep listening. And next.
I wonder if we get a little wrestling match like they had at the GT race in Mexico.
That one, the race, the
did you guys go after each
the
other?
Grand Am cars in Mexico? That was hilarious.
That was too funny.
Yeah.
The next one is from Shane in Melbourne, Australia. Hi, guys. If you have the time, I just wanted to notify all your Australian and New Zealand listeners that for the first time ever, F1 qualifying for all races will be televised on free-to-air TV. This Sunday at 1:25 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Australia, on Channel 10, the Bahrain qualifying shootout will kick it off. Cheers, Shane. Thanks, Shane. It's a really good little bit of information to throw out to our Australian wrestlers that if for some reason they weren't aware of it.
Oh, yeah.
They'll actually be able to watch the qualifying free to air.
There's it's great when Formula One goes on free TV, as it is in Europe and a lot of the Asian countries. But hurrah to New Zealand and Australia. We still have to pay for it here in USA. Yep. Occasionally, it comes on CBS or ABC.
But we don't get you. Rarely. We never see qualifying free. No,
of course not. They just
only the race. They only cover the race.
Exactly.
They would much rather show people driving around in circles.
Well, that was some excellent emails. We just got some news, just came in, about Renault and how they don't think they missed out on the Bahrain test. Renault's chassis technical director, Bob Bell, says the team did not miss out on any valuable development by not making the trip to Bahrain with Ferrari's Scuderia Toro Rosso and Honda. The testing Honda were able to do has provided Michelin with good direction on the tires, and that will benefit all the Michelin teams. In other words, Renault is, and that's both team suppliers are doing this. Bridgestone is doing this with all the teams. They're all sharing data, and Michelin as well. So I think Renault, I think they're going to be in fine shape, because a lot of people were surprised that Renault didn't make the trip. And obviously they think that they didn't need to make that trip. And also, into the news real quickly, Bridgestone confident for Bahrain. They're ready to kick some booty. It doesn't say that, but I'm summarizing right now because we're in the wrap-up.
Paraphrasing.
So there you have it. Bridgestone is some of these last-minute deals before. It's been a busy few exciting months for Bridgestone, strengthening current relationships, rekindling old relationships, and forging new ones, says Hiroshi Hasukawa, director of motorsports at Bridgestone. So they plan to really kick some butt. Nico Rosberg, who was first at GP2 and became champion last year, and Yuji Aide, with the introduction of V8s, the return of the pit stops, and a new qualifying format, we are expecting an exciting season. This is Bridgestone's 10th season in F1. And we are delighted to be here supporting the championship and inviting our guests to watch the world's premier single-seater racing series, Formula One. So there you got it. Right off the wire. That thing was still smoking when it came in. All right, Steve. We're going to go wrap it up here. I want to thank Will at mytriviapodcast.com. And I'd like to also mention the folks over at TotalF1.com. If you like to participate in their game, check them out. That game is called PPP. I think you're into it, Steve.
Yeah, and you're probably going to need to sign up here pretty quick if you want to get in on the first race.
And a lot of people have been emailing us about Fantasy F1. I'm so busy that I certainly don't have much time to do some of the fantasy sites. But somebody recommended the McLaren Fantasy F1 game that's on the McLaren site. It's free. It's pretty good. And if people want to check it out, my team's name is LEMEC, which is LESMEC. LEMEC is the name of my team on the McLaren Formula One fantasy game on the McLaren website.
And my team on the McLaren fantasy website is f1weekly.tot.com.
There you have it.
You can check out our teams there.
And that way you could follow the experts. Who do fantasy F1.
One of the experts.
Exactly, one of the experts. Correct, Steve. Keep up the good work. Also, if anybody's interested in cross-promotions, either through our podcast or F1Weekly.com's website, please contact info@F1Weekly.com. Go to the contact page, info@F1Weekly.com. Also, you can check us out on iTunes, Podcast Nova, Podcast Alley, and Yahoo Podcasts. Even though I've been to Podcast Nova and it's been a little frou-frou. I don't know. They get them late and there's a problem. Not all the podcasts are the best, but go to the website or go to iTunes. Those are really the more trustworthy ones. And actually, Yahoo has been doing good job as well. Also, click on our ads on our website. We need the revenue. You have no idea how low budget this whole deal is, but it's very low budget. We're very poor. And we need every penny we can scrounge up. Also want to thank Desiree for doing another fine job today on the second part of the show. I want to thank David Tapia for not being here. I want to thank Steve Fobb, my co-host, for doing a fine job. And I want to thank all the emails from our listeners.
Keep them coming.
I want to remind our listeners that we will be covering a little A1 Grand Prix this weekend. But, of course, the most important thing is the opening Formula One race in Bahrain. But we'll have a full report probably by my Monday morning or Tuesday on the A1 Grand Prix race at Laguna Seca. And we'll have some comments from the owner of the A1 USA team. So there you have it, Steve. I'm all done. Podcast number 20 has come to an end. Steve, good night.
Good night, Clark. Good night, Dave, wherever you are.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.